Welcome to More Than a Song. Our show's focus is on West Texas music, singers, and songwriters, off stage and on the air. I'm your host, Carrie Banks, with producer Chuck Luck. Today, we'll be talking with Dustin Garrett. Welcome to More Than a Song. Thanks for being on the show today. You're a West Texas boy.
Born in Littlefield and raised in Antwood School in Spades, or that little triangle.
Come from a musical family.
I believe I was on stage when I was 6 years old. 6 weeks old, I'm sorry, up till I was 6 years old. I was playing with the family band, which was my mom and my dad and many of their friends. I was named after a drummer that played for them at the Opry's, and remember that being always a part of my life when I was really, really young.
A lot of folks around the area will know you from your long experience at the Cactus Theater starting way back in the 90s.
I believe the first performance I had at the Cactus, I was 7. It was a Red Ribbon show that they used to do where they featured a lot of young students, and spending a lot of time as a young kid performing at the Cactus and seeing all of those great musicians like Joe Don Davidson and Mark Payton and Kenny Mayne's and Wally Moyers, seeing all of these great players really kind of setting the tone, I think, for me, knowing that this is what I wanted to do with my life, is I wanted to be in music somehow, some way.
Very early on, you were cast with your buddy Will Boring. You two were the young Everly Brothers in the world premiere of the play, The Everly Brothers.
That's right. I was 10 years old. The production that came from, I guess, Broadway, also into Nashville, was called Bye Bye Love, The Everly Brothers Musical. By luck of fate, it got to be the world premiere at the Cactus. They had an all Nashville cast except for young Don and Phil Everly. So myself and lifelong brother Will Boring decided to audition together. Right then and there, we got the job. What a wonderful way to meet so many people, especially all of the Nashville contacts that some I even still talk to today.
After that, you got to be, as a very young performer, on the Grand Ole Opry in Nashville, Tennessee.
From that musical we did, I got to meet the executive president, Steve Buchanan, with the Grand Ole Opry. He appeared at one of the shows. They asked my family if it would be okay for me to come out and be on the Bill Anderson Hour on one Friday night in 1998. I think at that point, I knew it was something special, but I definitely didn't know how vast of an opportunity this was at that age. Now I look at it and say, I wish I would have known then what I know now about all these great players, Ricky Skaggs and Jenny Seeley, and next door to Stonewall Jackson and Jack Green and little Jimmy Dickens. I was taller than him at 10 years old. It was life-changing for me because it really set even more inspiration into play.
At what age did you start playing the guitar?
7, pretty much self-taught. My dad showed me a few chords. I was like the nerdy kid that didn't play sports. I just wanted to go home and make music.
Pretty early on, you started your own band, the Texas Cruisers.
My dad and my mom and I would put kind of a cover band together with local musicians. Started really trying to just get into the circuit and playing, and then it eventually became sort of a nightlife bar band, and we were traveling quite a bit in the region to all of the smaller towns and even up to Amarillo, Midland, Odessa. Got in with an entertainment company called Wemus Entertainment, started doing corporate parties. So all of that was going on as I was going to junior high and high school. Essentially, it was building me up to get all of that experience that I would need later on to run my own business and be my own entrepreneur later on as a musician.
What are your biggest influences, both as a guitar player and as a songwriter?
As a songwriter, singer, performer, I go back to the ones that were the first ones I heard. So my mom was showing me stuff from Ronnie Millsap, Charlie Pride, knowing that a lot of these songs were written by great songwriters like Jimmy Webb. And I know you're a big Jimmy Webb fan too. Thinking about how they influenced me on the countryside, my dad kind of sneaking me off and saying, hey, this is Foreigner. This is AC/DC.
Yeah.
All these great bands that I got to hear, that started kind of making my mind twist a little bit, thinking about what are the correlations between great songwriting and great performances. For the longest time, I didn't know that most of these performers that were singing these songs, they didn't write them. They had great writers in Nashville that were writing these great songs, and they were just performing the heck out of them and making their career out of great written songs. on the rock side, it was a little bit different because a lot of those bands were writing their own stuff and creating their own things. So it really started making a lot more sense, and I started researching more. It was really fun to get on those CD credits or on the album vinyl credits and look at it and say, these are the musicians that are playing on this. Why is Eddie Bayers on every album that I love from the 90s? Because this is the guy you call when you want a great drum track. Guitar-wise, of course, in the studio, Brent Mason is a big influence. I'd name my daughter Stevie Ray, so I think there's one there that we can name. Stevie Ray Vaughan, of course. B.B. King, Freddie King. Love listening to Freddie King stuff. A lot of blues guitarists. The new guys that I kind of listen to now that really inspire me are like Ariel Posen. Still a huge Enmore fan and love doing shows with him. Good alternative music. My wife and I, one of our favorite bands is the Paper Kites from Australia. Just a great, nice, alternative kind of folk band. That's the kind of stuff that I think I'm listening to on the road more than anything. It's just fun to open up the palette and know that there is many styles of music that can kind of create what maybe I'm going to write one day. I guess is where I could put it in a nutshell.
One of the songs that we're going to listen to today, you co-wrote with our late great friend Mark Hayden. It's called Addicted. Tell us a little bit about how that came about.
Mark, I think, is one of my biggest influences when it comes to playing guitar and why I wanted to play guitar. Watching him and Mike Carraway were the two reasons that I even play six strings today. Credit so much to their performances and the way they attacked everything. And I just became a real good lifelong friend with Mark. I wanted to embrace his songwriting. And in the 70s, of course, he was a staffed writer for Tree Publishing, Sony Tree in Nashville. And he had a song that he had demoed called Addicted. Mark was always great about writing really weird chords with great lyrics. So I wanted to embrace that. So him and I went in and kind of rewrote some of those parts. I rewrote some of the music, and then we collectively released that together under my name. And I'll always miss that guy.
Let's hear a little bit of Addicted.
You can break my heart, and you sometimes do. Just take control, I give it all to you. You just use me up till it's just not fair. It's a price I pay, it's a cost I'll bear. 'Cause I'm addicted to your love.
Continue our conversation with Dustin Garrett on More Than a Song on 89.1. Welcome back to More Than a Song. We're speaking with our good friend, Dustin Garrett. You were, at a very young age, a guest on the Thursday Night Live television show from South Plains College.
I think it's important to note right now that Carrie is an excellent recruiter. He handed me papers that night and he said, let's get you to South Plains College when you were 18. So he was already recruiting me when I was there. I remember that day so well. Headed to Thursday Night Live in the middle of a baseball-sized hailstorm. Saw my first tornado did the show that night, I made a commitment to Carrie and everyone. I wanted to come to South Plains College, and I did that. I wouldn't trade it for the world.
Dustin was already an incredible player, already a seasoned performer on stage. You won even more awards, and one of the awards that you won was the coveted Tom T. Hall Scholarship.
In that time, I also got the Landon Velasquez Scholarship. My last year there, I got Entertainer of the Year. To me, I thought was a great honor. It really, again, continued to push that inspiration to do more and to utilize this. And I've just grown up with great parents that said, don't let any opportunity go to waste. Find where your safety net is and just go.
Another opportunity that you saw there was a real cute little girl in your ensemble classes.
That's right. I met my wife, Christy, out there at South Plains. We had a lot of similarities and a lot of differences. I think that really made a very hybrid relationship for us that still works. We're going on 14 years this December. Some of the best days of my life, spending those with her.
Another classmate there was a young gentleman, very talented young man named Taylor Hickey. Wound up that both you and Christy wound up in his band.
Taylor was from Mineral Wells area, and we met a lot of local to Mineral Wells musicians that were out there at SBC, and we put a band together, started writing songs, and wound up being able to fully produce and have an all-original album that came out around 2009. The time we got married. We're on the road with them for a little while. We actually moved to the Weatherford area for a short time. We kind of all went our separate ways at some point, like all bands do. We got to perform with a lot of great artists at the time. We got to open up for people like Bruce Robinson and Kelly Willis and Jack Ingram, which was great, Bart Crow Band. But again, it was experience that we needed to learn what to do and what not to do in business.
You also, during that period, really became involved in producing records, the technical side of it.
With South Plains, we learned so much in so many different facets. In the business today, you almost have to be a Swiss Army knife and be multi-talented in multiple areas, which is going to be recording and video and now social media and marketing, learning how to make a great TikTok. We were able to learn all those tools at South Plains and then in our own ventures that we did. That helped a lot because it let us know what commercial music was really looking for. As far as what is the cookie cutter method and also what is kind of the off the beaten path method, you have to know when you make those decisions, there's going to be good things and bad things that come from going down those paths. But when it comes down to it, you make it your own.
One of your biggest career accomplishments early on in your life was being part of the King of the Blues competition sponsored by Guitar Center.
That was a fun time. We got to meet so many great players all around the country when doing that. I competed 2 years in a row in 2009, got to the district finals, which was in Austin, and the guy that beat me out, totally great player. He went on to win the whole thing. His name is Kirby Kelly, great blues musician from Dallas, plays two slides. He was so supportive whenever I got to that point in the national competition the next year. He said something to me I'll always remember. He said, remember, when you go out there, it's not about winning. It's about the journey that God's allowing you to take. Take that journey, soak it in, and put him first. That really changed my ideology about going out there. It wasn't about winning. I remember being able to walk away from that experience, not winning, being in the top five nationally was such a great honor that I didn't even know I deserved from hearing all these other great players. Getting to meet Joe Bonamassa and Steve Lukather and Leland Sklar, Hubert Sumlin, Pete Anderson was in the backup band, Kenny Wayne Shepherd was the host. I mean, we just got to meet all those great people. It was really neat to be able to represent Lubbock that way and the wonderful experience of being able to be there. Actually, one of the last shows to happen at House of Blues on Sunset before it was tore down. A really cool experience.
All your experience, all your training brought you back to Lubbock for the perfect gig, band leader, music director at the Cactus Theater.
Again, some of the greatest times of my life. I got the call from Toby Caldwell to come try out for the band. Tried out for the band and the late, great Johannes Biargo, Mark Payton, Toby, Don. Don knew he could kind of sculpt me to be a better guitar player. It really made me the musician I am today, learning all different styles of music. Again, that whole Swiss Army knife thing and being versatile, playing all Bon Jovi music on a Friday and then playing a Frank Sinatra show the next night. I will never take those days for granted. And when Toby decided to move to Nashville, Don asked me to step in that role, and really fantastic, phenomenal shows that were sellouts after sellouts, performing great cover music with great local musicians and singers. You know, the Cactus is a special place, and Don Caldwell and his family are very special to this town, too.
You play and are very adept at all kinds of music. I would kind of guess maybe blues is one of your favorites. You have a blues song that was included on the Lubbock Music Now CD from a couple of years ago. It's called The Devil's Hand. Let's hear that song.
I could hear the music calling, didn't know which way to go. I got my shot at fortune when I felt the fire down below. My soul was the payment to receive the gift of you. Yeah, the devil's got his hand on me. I don't know what I'm gonna do. There used to be a time when things were going right. Nothing I saw to worry or to break my foolish mind. When I lost all I ever had, well, I knew my friends were few. Devil's got his hand on me. I don't know what I'm gonna do. Oh, what am I gonna do?
We'll be right back to continue our conversation with Dustin Garrett on More Than a Song on 89.1. Welcome back to More Than a Song. Our guest today is Dustin Garrett. Your experience performing has opened many doors for you. Not long ago was to be guitarist and band leader for Grammy-winning artist Rick Trevino.
That was a fun call to get from Rick's manager, Milton. Milton has been in the band, I think, for 25 years and also been tour manager and taking care of all the business there. I couldn't be more blessed to be in company with Rick and performing those songs. They're just so iconic. I had to tell him, you were my second concert when I was about 4 or 5 years old. He had came to the fair. To me, Rick has always been a superstar, and I still feel that way when I step on stage with him. And even though the nerves are not as bad as they used to be to really want to do well for him, I still have those. He's just so commanding of the stage, and I believe he just turned 52. His vocals are just getting better and better. He's writing great songs. You know, he's got a musical family. His daughter, Presley, opens up for us once in a while and is doing stuff, and he's really behind her, too. I am just blessed to be able to be in company and work with someone like Rick and know that more music is going to come from him. It's just great to be on this journey right now. I hope that I can do this for a very long time with him if he'll have me. And I get to travel with local musician Sean Frankhauser, who also has been just a bad to the bone musician playing with Bugs Henderson and Red Volkart and all these other great musicians. So getting to spend that time with him on the road is always fun. It's always enjoyable. Rick has a new song he's working on. Sean and I both got to be on that studio cut. And I got that call because of a connection, J-Boy Adams.
You're still at a very young age, but you had so much experience as a player, performer, writer, arranger, as a producer. All of that experience has now led you to a new career with New Mexico Junior College.
This was definitely out of left field. But again, I've said God works in mysterious ways. I was working along with all the music things that I do. I've always been in the food and beverage business or food and nutrition business. I had a great job that I loved at UMC Health System here, working with their dietary team. I've always known that I wanted to get into music somehow full time. Really, when I was the least amount of time I was looking for that, I got a call from Dr. Steve McCleary, who is the president emeritus over at New Mexico Junior College, said that there was a position open for director of entertainment and music technology. I didn't know what to think about it. I knew that I needed to go look at the place. From the moment that we started chatting about this and visiting the staff and administration over there, I knew this is where I wanted to be. They have a lot of very talented students that are there that need coaching, need to find their own path, and people that will invest in them. And I think that that's very important in these days, as there's so many that put things aside or put other people aside. You just focus on your prize and your goal. I think that my mentors, like you, Carrie, and many others, you took the time to invest in me as a person and knowing what was there, finding those things inside of me that I didn't even know yet. I want to repay that back. That's going to be something that continues your legacy, is to continue to mentor those and give them a right path and really take the time to invest in them and know that they're seen and know that we're hearing them and what they do. Also giving them maybe not the greatest thing they want to hear, but to lead them in the right path so they can become successful. So that is a new venture for me. I've just signed on a new professor, Frank Aguilera from Plainview. We have a touring ensemble that's about to fire up. We have a Thunderbird Sessions Live, which will be a fully multifaceted A for V or audio for video production room for local artists and regional artists to be able to get great quality promotional videos, and our students running that. We have a concert series coming up. So many things are happening in Lee County over there. It makes the drive every day very well worth it. There's a lot of great things happening there. We have some scholarship students that just signed on full ride. So they get 2 years to just perform for our touring ensemble and get their degree. And some were not even going to go to college at all. So being able to give them that opportunity, that's been where my smiles and my happiness have been coming in this year, is giving opportunities to those that weren't even going to take them. And they're very talented. So just so happy to be a part of it.
You're expanding this great West Texas music mystique, and we're very proud of you. With all that you're doing, working with Rick, working over there with the junior college, you still have time to do what you love, which is write and sing songs. You got a new one today. What's it called, and how did it come about?
I have spent a lot of time on the road lately, whether I'm playing gigs with Rick, other artists that were filling in, or even my own gigs down south. This just happened to be one that I think was written in the hotel really early one morning. You never know when the inspiration is going to hit you. Didn't sleep very well that night. I wrote a song called Wake You Up. There was a person that helped me. There was a lady that was kind of inebriated one night that decided she was going to help me load up my car for all my sound gear. And so she was loading that up. First lines came, "You help me pack my things when the show is over." From then on, I just kind of made up my own story about my wife and how she helps me load at the end of the night, sometimes if she's not politicking with someone out in the crowd that's come to see her and not me. But, you know, just about, we don't have to do anything. And just let me wake you up with a kiss in the song. It really related to my relationship with my wife. All right, this is my song called Wake You Up.
You help me pack my things when the show is over, and I'll open the car door on your side. We can stop in at the diner, or we can head on home. Climb in bed and turn out all the lights. I'll tell you that I'm thankful you're my biggest fan. When you wake up in the morning, the sun shines through the window, and you'll be there just laying in my arms. I lean in and kiss your shoulder, you smile with one eye open. That's where we'll wind up staying all day long. So let me wake you up with a kiss and a song. We don't have to go to sleep. We can turn on the movie, or we can make love like many times before. So baby, let your hair down, get right up next to me, and pull up your favorite pictures on your phone. This simple life is everything to this music man. We wake up in the morning, the sun shines through the window, and you'll be there sleeping in my arms. I lean in and kiss your shoulder, you smile with one eye open. That's where we'll wind up staying all day long. So let me wake you up with a kiss and a song. Let me wake you up with a kiss and a song. It's another show again. You help me pack my face. You're gonna go home with me tonight.
Dustin Garrett, thanks for being on our show. And thank you very much for being part of the Lubbock and West Texas music scene.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to More Than a Song. I'm your host, Carrie Banks. This show was produced by Chuck Luck. Our guest today was singer-songwriter, educator, Dustin Garrett. Join us next Friday morning for More Than a Song at 10:30 on 89.1. For more information on More Than a Song, and if you would like to hear previous episodes, visit ttupublicmedia.org.